When we started LCC Connect in 2022, our aim was to create a podcast network that connects our college with the community and our community with the college. Since then, we've expanded to offer more than 30 podcasts, all of which are hosted by members of Lansing Community College or folks within our community. This is Dedalian. I'm the general manager for LCC Connect, and joining me on today's episode is Paige Dunkel, an actor, director, and educator who has spent more than four decades bringing theater to life. Her new podcast joins the LCC Connect network on Tuesday, April 7th. It's called Exit Stage Left, LCC Performing Arts. While the main focus of the show will be to shine a spotlight on LCC's performing arts scene, it will also extend beyond LCC, exploring the people, stories, and creative energy that makes the arts so vibrant on both our campus and throughout our community. And now, let's go behind the scenes to find out what's happening behind the connection.
What part of Arkansas are you originally from?
Little Rock.
Little Rock, so the capital?
Yes. I was pretty much there almost my entire life until I went to grad school.
So what originally brought you to Michigan, and do you consider yourself a Michigander now?
I do. I've lived here for over 30 years, so I'm a Michigander. Yeah, and when I got out of graduate school, I applied for theater education director at Boar's Head Theater when that was still around. That was the professional theater in Lansing for many, many years with John Peaks, and was the education director there. That's what brought me to Michigan.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And was there a point in your life where you went, oh, goodness, theater is really what I love? Like, was there a point when you were a kid, or what was it that sparked it and made you go, wow, this is awesome. This is what I want to do.
Well, I also got a bachelor's degree in journalism. So when I was in Little Rock, after I got out of undergrad, I worked as a reporter for the Arkansas Gazette. And I did that for about 3 years and was also doing like a working with a theater group in Little Rock, and I just loved it so much. And so I started applying to graduate schools to get my MFA in directing. And so I quit my job as a reporter, went to graduate school and, you know, in directing, and never looked back.
So it was a little bit later in life.
It was, yeah. I mean, I always did. I got a bachelor's degree in theater too. Mm-hmm. So I was doing both and, you know, trying to think about, oh, you know, what most adults and parents say, you can't make a living in theater. You need to have a backup career so you can actually live. So, and I did enjoy journalism quite a bit. I love it. And I still use, you know, a lot of those tools, but just wanted to do theater and been doing it ever since.
So you've got a background both in theater and journalism. How does that help you to tell stories?
I think that, I mean, starting with the basic foundation of print journalism, which was what I was doing, print journalism, not broadcasting, but you start with the most important thing. You know, it's like that inverted pyramid they teach you in print journalism. You know, you write your lead. That's what's going to draw the people in to read the story. And then as you go down, it gets less important because, you know, most people don't read the entire article, but they'll read the first half of it.
No, that is true.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you kind of made a switch, a career switch almost. Was there a point where all of a sudden you said, you know, like maybe you were in a production, a rehearsal, something like that, where you said, wow, this is exactly why I love doing this?
Yeah, I think the experimental theater company that I was working with when I got out of undergrad school, they were just doing all of these freaky shows, just wonderful adaptations of bizarre things. And and I did a one-woman show there, and that was terrifying and exhilarating at the same time.
What was the show?
It was called, oh my gosh, I know, I'm just blank.
That's the way it always works, isn't it?
It is, yeah. But it was a one-woman show about a woman, of course, and the different, I guess, phases of her life. She was a little cuckoo nuts, but it was a great show, and you know, I loved that. And then I thought, well, I want to direct, you know, I like acting, but I want to direct. So
out of the two, you prefer directing to acting or not?
I do prefer directing, but I think that's also why I love education, you know, working with people who maybe unsure mm-hmm. of what they're doing and kind of guiding them through that process and helping them to see on their own, you know, and to develop characters on their own.
Gotcha. Yeah. So the podcast that you're going to be doing, it's called Exit Stage Left, LCC Performing Arts. It goes beyond that. We'll dive into that a little bit more in just a moment. But first, what exactly was the motivation other than me going, hey, you want to do a podcast? What was the motivation behind doing the podcast?
Well, I just thought, you know, we do so many performances and events at LCC, mm-hmm. and we are so, like I said, that community that is theater. And a lot of our students perform and audition and work at area community theaters. I just thought more people need to know about that, what we bring to the community and what's out in the community. Mm. As far as performing arts go.
Yeah, we do have a lot of good stuff that's happening. And I'm not going to say not enough support, but you'd like to see those seats full as often as possible, right?
Absolutely. And we've been trying to do that, too, by offering free admission for the last two yeah. seasons. And yeah. that really has helped bring people in and let them be exposed to really great creative art.
Right, right. You know, obviously this is in part for students, but who else would you say this is for, this podcast specifically?
It's for the community too. It's for students and the community just so they know what's going on mm-hmm. and where to go. So hopefully it covers a variety of topics that people may be interested in or curious about as far as, you know, what classes and courses that we offer, what creative arts classes we have, in addition to theater, also music and cinema and art and dance. So, and then also what's offered in the community.
So what types of classes are we currently offering here at LCC?
Well, we're offering, I mean, a variety of theater classes from improv to Shakespeare, movement, voice.
Is the improv one, is that fairly new?
That's been around.
Has it really?
It has been around. Okay. Yeah. But we have we've had a lot of community people sign up for that.
Mm-hmm. I've actually thought about doing that myself.
Yeah. Yeah, you should. So, and then, you know, we have, of course, the intro to acting and stage voice. Mm-hmm. We have dance classes, movement. We have a great cinema program here. And music is phenomenal. The jazz band, all of those ensembles that are open for the public to take, you know, at a reduced price because mm-hmm. they can do it through adult ed.
Yeah.
You know, rock band and concert choir and jazz band. So there's so many opportunities.
Absolutely. Would hate to get off track a little bit more, but you mentioned rock band and
right.
and some of those other things. I mean, there are a lot of different events that take place throughout the year here at LCC. But what's a typical year, like, as far as the performances we offer? What are they?
Oh, my gosh. So many. Well, we have four season shows. That's the two in Dart Auditorium, two in the Black Box, and then in addition to that, we have studio shows, which are like finals for classes. Mm-hmm. So the beginning studio, that's a public performance at the end of the semester. Mm. We have Shakespeare Studio, which is also a public performance at the end of the semester. And then we have all of our music ensembles perform public concerts towards the end of the semester. And we've got Fall Swing Fling, which the jazz band does. That's a fairly new event. Mm. I'm sure there's others that summer. We got summer season.
Yeah, Summer Stage Under the Stars,
yeah,
right?
Summer Stage Under the Stars. We do two shows for that as well.
Very good. What makes that event so special?
It's the Summer Stars?
Yeah, because it is. It's kind of a different vibe, I guess.
It is. It's been around for so long. It used to be called the Turner House Festival.
Uh-huh.
When we still had the Turner House, the actual Turner House, sitting up on top of the hill.
Yeah.
So, and that's been around for... That festival's been around probably for 50, 60 years, maybe. Mm-hmm. But once the Turner House was demolished, we went to Summer Stage Under the Stars. And we try to do a classical piece out there, either a Shakespeare or some other, you know, period piece that people don't normally get to see.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we do like children's theater out there, which I love. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it got me off track. I got a little curious there. Okay. So, I mean, mainly because, again, I think you guys put on so many good productions, and it's one of those things where, hey, I've got the moment. I want to get the word out there about it. So, and that's partly what this podcast is all about too, right?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So what kind of conversations can listeners expect to hear, and who are some of the folks that you're going to be talking to on the program?
Well, I'm trying to do a really wide variety of guests, not only from LCC, but from in the community. So I've got a couple of theater professors lined up, Chris Rollins with the rock band, playing classical guitar, which I didn't know he did that. So I was like, you got to play on this podcast. And then I've got planned one of the film instructors to come in and talk about what he does with students and how they create short films. And I would love to have also, I do have lined up some alumni from our program who are working in theater in the community, and then also people from the theater who are in the community but not necessarily at LCC.
Mm. Yeah, sounds like a good lineup. And I actually got the chance to sit in on the Chris Rollins episode.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize he did classical guitar either. It was beautiful to listen to. And that's actually going to be your premiere episode, right?
Yes. Yeah, yes. Yeah. And I'm excited.
When you guys got together, like, again, I'm not ever in the theater department, so I don't know. You don't really get to interact as much as I thought, like everybody did.
Mm-hmm.
So is it almost like you're kind of all working in your own area and then just occasionally you interact? What's it like there?
Well, I mean,
because that's kind of what my life is like.
Yeah. Well, I really am fortunate because in addition to teaching, I'm also the production coordinator. So I produce all of the performing arts productions. So I get to work with the music people and the theater people and, you know, anybody else, like our technical crew, our design staff. So I do have a lot of contact with.
And that's kind of what I thought. I thought you probably, given your role, interacted with everybody a little bit more. But again, in the conversation, I was surprised to hear that you didn't interact as much with Chris Rollins. But
I didn't. And, you know, it was just by chance that I learned that he played classical guitar, which is what, you know, piqued my interest to have him as a guest on the podcast.
And going back to the podcast, what are you hoping that folks take away from this beyond just knowing about the events that are happening?
I hope that they gain a better awareness of everything that LCC has to offer and also the community. Every production, we get people who come in and say, oh, I didn't know LCC had a rock band. I didn't know LCC had a dance class. So making people aware of what's available to them and maybe piquing their interest in getting them to come visit campus or go to another theater and see a show that's coming up.
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned community in there. Why do you believe it is important for any community, not just Lansing, but any community to support performing arts?
It's not just performing arts. It's all arts, I think, all creative arts. So in addition to theater and music and dance, you know, supporting independent filmmakers and artists, you know, paint artists, sculptors, anybody who's creating art and sharing that with the community, I think it brings the community closer together. You know, it hopefully they have some empathy for what the artist is trying to express or can connect to it on some level. And I think that's always important.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I don't know, art is a reflection of our society. I think that Aristotle said that somewhere.
Well, if not, we can just say he did.
Yeah, he did.
So looking back at your career, both as an actor and director, is there one role or production that holds a special place in your heart? Is it that one that you were talking about earlier where you did the one-woman show?
No, it's really not. You know what
I'd name it, but you couldn't name it either. So.
I couldn't. Heart of a Dog. That's the name.
Heart of a Dog. I knew it would come to you if I said it.
Well, when I was in grad school, I decided to do one of my final shows in children's theater. And I have a love for children's theater that has stayed with me. So I think one of the most lovely shows that I did here was The Snow Queen.
Mm.
And we did it in Dart, and it was magical and lovely. And what is great is seeing young people in the audience, like kids, telling the little girl, don't go over there, the witch is coming, you know, hide, hide. So they get so invested in that, and it just makes me so happy. Mm. So that was great. I mean, little girls coming dressed in their princess dresses and to see the Snow Queen, and it was wonderful. It's just the children audience are so honest. They're so giving.
So the Snow Queen.
The Snow Queen. That was a wonderful experience.
I actually am happy to say I was the one that did the poster for that at that time. Yeah.
Nice. Nice.
Interesting. So as far as the kids go, is All of Us Express Children's Theater, is that still a part of our community?
It is. They're still around. So yeah. The fact that you didn't know they were is an indication that I need to have somebody from All of Us on my podcast.
I think you definitely should. Yeah, definitely should.
Yeah, they do a lot of great work with students and kids of all ages up to high school. And we actually have someone who works there who also works with us and is an alumni.
Oh, very cool.
Yes. Yeah. So see, that's that web I was telling you about.
It seems to be that way, especially when we're talking about me doing the poster and everything else. I mean, it just all connects.
Right.
So you've worked with a lot of students over the years. Is there a production or a student moment that really stuck with you and reminded you how powerful the performing arts can be?
I don't think there's any one show. What I love to see with student actors during a performance, and it doesn't always happen as much as you would think, is them totally immersed and 100% invested in that role. And so you see that they are that character. They just become that character, and it's solid. And knowing that I may have had a part of that is gratifying, but I really feel good for them too, because they know it. You know, when they come off stage, they're like, you know, they've had that moment.
Right.
And it's a great feeling for them and for us as well.
I can say that Greg Trimmer, he was doing Front Row Backstage for a while here, a podcast. Yeah. I can tell you that when he would have theater students in, they were the most enthusiastic and upbeat individuals ever. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were just a joy to talk to and just a lot of fun to be around. So
yeah,
I can only imagine what it would be like having, like, say, 30 of them in one place.
It's great. You know, I love the students here, especially in the students that I get to interact with, because you know, we get a lot of students who come to LCC and they don't really know where they fit in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to find a safe spot or a comfortable spot where they will be accepted, you know, unconditionally. And 99.9% of the time, it's in theater, you know.
Sure.
They're just so accepting and forgiving and open. And that's what I love about our students.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So it's been about 40 years that you've been in theater, and not that am I throwing that out there?
Yeah, it's 40-ish years, yes.
Yeah. You've probably seen a lot of things happen on stage, so tell me about one moment that you think about, and it still makes you get, either gives you a giggle, a laugh, or a smile. I don't care which one. Okay, that's a little bit of a giggle there.
Yeah, that is. I think it was a Shakespeare studio show in the Black Box, and one of the actors came out as a bear, but he was just acting like the bear. He wasn't like in a bear costume, but he didn't have a shirt on, and he was doing all this physicality, and the person on stage that he was coming out didn't realize that he wasn't going to have a shirt on. So when they turned around, they were like, what? You know, they kind of went up on their lines and tried to keep from laughing, but that was really funny. I always remember that. Ugh.
All right. Is there a show that you're looking forward to that's coming up this year?
Well, I'm I'm getting ready to do a show. Is that something I can talk about?
That's exactly why I asked you that.
Okay.
It sounds like a very appropriate one to do, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to actually try to get to it for sure.
Awesome. Well, for those who don't know what we're talking about, 1984, it's an adaptation by Nick Hearn. So it's not a reenactment of the book, but it's the adaptation is where Winston has already been arrested, for thought crimes.
Okay.
And we see prisoners reenacting the events. So he is watching prisoners reenact those moments with Julia.
Oh.
So it's that approach to it, which is very effective. That's act one. And then act two, we get a little hairier. But it really focuses on the relationship between Winston and Julia, that love story.
Yeah.
Because it kind of encompasses everything that Big Brother is doing in that world.
Gotcha. All right. 1984. And this will be out before that. So
awesome. Hey, we open April 10th.
There you go. Get it in there. All right. We're about ready to close up shop, but I want to say thank you, Paige, for joining me on Behind the Connection. Really looking forward to listening to Exit Stage Left. Appreciate you creating the show. It's going to be a wonderful podcast, and I'm so glad you were able to join the LCC Connect team. So thank you.
Thank you.
Be sure to check out the new podcast. It's called Exit Stage Left, LCC Performing Arts. It's going to debut April 7th on LCC Connect. It's a Tuesday, and it'll be at 2 p.m. as always. The show is going to spotlight upcoming productions, creative voices, and the stories that make performing arts such an important part of our campus and community. Now, very last question I ask all of my guests. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you what it is because it is the rando question of the day.
Uh-oh.
And I do not even know myself. So here we go.
All right.
We're going to click the random question generator. Who was your favorite teacher and why?
Oh, my gosh. I'll go back to high school because this teacher was a wonderful human being. Her name was Doris Rutherford, and she taught journalism, and she also taught literature, English. And it was a very small school, very small. And she really encouraged me to pursue journalism. But in addition to that, she gave me access to her storage closet. And in her storage closet were all of these fantastic works of literature.
Mm.
And she said, you can take whatever you want, read it, bring it back, and to take some more. And through that, I read so many beautiful books. You know, that's where I was exposed to Maya Angelou. I read I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. And just got hooked on that. And it was just a beautiful gift that she gave me. And still think about her to this day.
Wow, well, that's a nice story right there.
Yeah.
That's a good one to finish on, too.
Thanks.
Strangest prop you've ever seen in a production?
Probably the one that's coming up.
What is it?
It is a antique metal head covering with electrodes coming out of it.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah.
No, that doesn't sound creepy at all.
No. Never seen one used.
This is LCC Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.